Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're so glad you're back with us.
Yes, we are. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join the conversation. Log on to Facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow and chat alongside with us. And remember, you can always listen to past shows by going on TheMusicRowShow.com and checking out the podcast page there.
That is true. Now, did you mention Twitter? Because we also find us on Twitter, at TheMusicRowShow.
I did not.
I know that our guests here coming up are avid tweeters, so...
Oh,
are
yeah.
They Twitterers?
Yeah, Twitterers, yeah.
Oh,
Twitterers?
We tweet, we Facebook, we, gosh, we're quite into social media.
Nice.
So.
Maybe you can teach us a few things
yeah.
after the show.
Yeah, right. yeah. We do the Instagram. Do you do the Instagram?
I like Instagram.
Instagram's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, it's so limited, though. You know, there's not much you can do with it, but... tweeting is just above my head. I really am not that great with tweeting.
I just wish I had enough room to say more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And tweeting
yeah.
because I'm a talker and I like to speak a little longer than what is it? 100 and how many?
I don't even
144
know.
144
characters.
Yeah.
Characters.
Yeah. yeah. And spaces count.
I
as
can
a
breathe.
See, it's like looking at Greek to me. So. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
I lose my mind on Twitter. But.
Well, Scott, why don't you? We've been hearing their voices now for a few seconds. Why don't you go ahead and start introducing folks here?
I'm going to. This is a terrific, terrific way to cap off our 7th anniversary show.
Yeah.
First off, the fact that anybody's kept us on the radio that long is crazy, but yeah. We've wanted these two on the show for years, but we just couldn't get schedules aligned because they're
yeah,
so busy.
They're busy.
You look at their calendar, they're gone all the time.
yeah.
But we have one of Nashville's favorite country music couples. T.G. Shepherd has recorded 20 number one hits. It might be 21. Is it 20 or 21?
It's 21.
21.
Who's counting?
Yeah. You know, his first hit, There's a Devil in the Bottle. Hit number one 40 years ago this year, if I'm not mistaken.
You got it.
Wow. He continues to play to packed houses of country music fans all over the country and all over the world. He's released a brand new CD called Iconic Duets, available now on iTunes, with his favorite singing partner.
Yes, who just so happens to be the other half of the Iconic Duets album, which is, in fact, TG's other half everywhere else as well. Songwriter and recording artist Kelly Lang is also here with us. In addition to songs for her own albums, her songs have been recorded by many other artists as well, folks like Lori Morgan and George Jones, Jerry Lee Lewis, that's pretty cool, Crystal Gayle and the Oak Ridge Boys. And coincidentally, as Scott mentioned, she also has a brand new CD available, songs in the key of, I'm sorry.
Shades of K.
What am I thinking?
You're thinking like 50 Shades of K.
50, yeah. No. I don't know. I would never think that.
No comparison.
No comparison at all. But anyway, Kelly Lang and T.G. Shepherd, welcome to the Music
well,
Row Show.
Good
to be here.
Wow.
50 Shades of K.
I mean, you know what? You have quite a crowd of people.
Yes, we
no,
do.
No, no, wait. You guys have a crowd.
That's what it is.
No, right? A lot of people. I mean, but we were listening to you on the way in.
Uh-huh.
And thoroughly enjoy yourself.
And you didn't turn around?
No.
That's amazing. No. Most people do.
Well, we thought about it, but we no.
I really enjoyed the lady that sang her
Rachel,
song.
Rachel,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness. Songwriter. She was really incredible.
Well, I mean, the songwriter is so important to every performer,
yeah.
whether you're a Vince Gill or you're somebody who writes your own material or not. It's like Kenny Rogers said so well the other day. Kelly and I was able to go to the Country Music Hall of Fame for his opening night exhibit, and as he got up for his speech, he said so eloquently what we all feel in this business as performers, that it all begins with a song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And without those songs, none of us would be here. I mean, you wouldn't be here playing them. We
nope.
wouldn't be here as artists. People wouldn't be hearing the radio. So we're very fortunate to have great songwriters. And, of course, the first part of your show tonight, it was great hearing that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Look at that. We just got two more listeners.
Yeah.
You're up to four
so
now.
I know.
Exactly right. We're going to get to a dozen before long.
We always say we're heard by tens of people across the country.
Yeah. Right. You guys got a big audience.
Well, talk about the Iconic Duets project. What sparked the idea?
Well, we have a lot of friends and fans on Facebook and across the country when we travel that wonder why we don't sing together. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, we sing together at home and then in the car and we act silly and all, but just had never taken the time to put it on a CD. And this last year, we just took it more seriously and did a kind of a poll online to see what people's favorites duet songs online. And across the board, it was around the same, 11, 12, 13 songs that everybody seemed to want to hear. We never wanted to try to outdo the songs that were originally cut by these great artists. There's no way you can do a better job than the originals.
Right, right.
But we just loved them, and we love our fans, and we just wanted to honor the writers and honor those that came before us, and we had a blast. We just had so much fun in the studio, and it was just a fun project.
Oh, come on, Kale. Let's tell it like it really is.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, well, the real truth is, it's just us here.
It's just
us. You threatened me if I didn't do this.
I did. Honestly, I did.
No, we just woke up one morning last winter, and she said, and the winters are always slow for every performer because you're not playing outside that much for festivals and fairs and things. It's a little slower than normal. And she said, it's a great time this winter to go in and start this duet project. So really and truly, I have to say it was Kelly's idea.
We learned a lot about each other, though.
Uh-oh. Okay, what did you learn?
I will never record with her again.
He's such a diva,
No.
Eye contact in the studio, that whole thing.
You're not allowed to talk to him,
It actually worked out great. Well, I mean, we never argued once about a song or anything.
Oh, come on.
We never did. It's not about the song.
I got too close to his mic and got bumped out of the way a couple of times. Yeah. But it's okay,
No.
It's a gold stencil TG.
Yeah, it blings,
All right.
No, we learned that... I sing off the cuff. I don't have any lyrics in there when I'm doing it. I just learn the song, remember it, and get on with it. And if I mess up a word, what big deal? I'll just do it again.
Yeah.
He's very analytical. He has to have everything written exactly. And lyrics online are not exact. We learned that the hard way.
Yes, we've discovered that ourselves. Yeah.
So he goes, but it says this. I'm like, it's not that.
Well, a lot of performers take the liberty of changing a word or so in a song every time there's a remake. But I always try to stay true to the writer because that's the way they wrote it and that's the way they heard it. But there are liberties that are taken sometimes. With me, it's totally out of a mistake. I mean, I even hear back now. I listen to the Iconic Duets album back now, and I'll go, did I say that there? It must have been this. But, I roll my eyes.
Yeah.
So you're like, I tried to tell you.
Whatever.
It was a fun project. We've done very well with it, and we invite people that would like to hear excerpts of it to go to tgshepherd.com or KellyLang.net. You can hear it or purchase it on iTunes or even on the websites or whatever.
So you can buy the physical CD from the website.
Yeah, matter of fact, we'll be out front here in our car.
Perfect.
We got a few in the
perfect.
Trunk. We'll be out.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
After the valet park your car, you get a CD.
We'll open up the trunk and we'll start selling to anybody who wants to drop by.
You know
station.
What? There's some people here. They're going to buy them.
Oh,
that's awesome.
We have
a store online that you can order a physical copy.
It's done so much better than we ever dreamed of it doing. So I guess we're planning volume two one of these days.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, we're celebrating our 7th anniversary this Wednesday of being married.
Yeah.
Nice. Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if that had anything to do with
that's why
we're starting. It's all important like that. It's all involved. Yeah.
Matter of fact, we're going to go to Vegas.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, baby, let's go to Vegas.
We're going to run out there for a couple of days to celebrate our 7 years of being married, and people said it wouldn't last.
Good for you. Look at us.
Good for you. You itching there, Kelly?
I'm just kidding.
No, that 7-year itch better not come along now. No.
We don't have time to recover anymore.
Right. So let's ask that real quick since you mentioned it. How did you guys meet, and was it a musical relationship at first, or... Give us. Let's hear. I want to hear both versions.
No, you tell your version, Kelly, and I'll tell
you
mine.
You go first.
I don't even remember meeting Kelly. I mean, it seems like she's just always been in my life.
Is that good?
Oh,
or bad?
See, that was good.
No, that's good because I mean, I can't remember a time when Kelly was not in my life because
Look at you're making producer Katrina melt over there.
This is true. when Kelly was 14 years old, she had her first Billboard record,
right.
Chart record, and she was opening shows for myself and Mickey Gilley and Lee Greenwood. I mean, and George Strait. I mean, she was opening shows for a lot of people, and so it's just I can't remember when she wasn't there. Yeah.
The first photograph that we have together, I was 14 and I was doing Jamboree in the Hills in West Virginia. It was like 60,000 people in the crowd, and everybody in the world was on the show. Conway and the Oaks and it was just a huge show. And we have this picture that I ended up putting on a coffee cup with me being this child and him being this sex symbol, you know. And it looks awful to think that we ended up together, you know. It's like, oh, wow. My gosh. But, you know, I never thought of him like being a husband at that time. I just thought, wow, that's T.G. Shepherd. I loved his music. I thought he was a nice person, but never thought of it like that, you know, until much, much later. I'd run into him every 5 or 6 years at an event, and just had a lot of respect for him. Mm-hmm. You know, I just always loved his personality. He's always really a gentleman and really funny. And when I went through my divorce at 33, I guess, I ran into his first wife at a party. And she said, so how are you doing? And I said, well, I just went through a really bad divorce. She said, you know, T.G.'s single now. And she
really?
Put us together. She
crazy.
Well, she kind of told us.
I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah.
And if that hasn't been put into a song, it needs to be.
We need to write that. She's a lovely, lovely lady. Oh, her name's Diana. And she just knew that we would make a fantastic pair. And we have really enjoyed everything since then. We've been together since then.
We have a lot of fun. We really do. To me, laughter is the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I think it keeps you healthy. I think it keeps you, first of all, happy. I think it keeps a lot of things in your life positive, laughter does.
Sure.
And we laugh a lot every day. Kelly's a very funny, humorous person, and as well as being a great singer and songwriter and very intelligent, she's very funny. So without laughter in your relationship, you know, it's difficult to make it last. But laughter, we have a lot of that in our relationship.
My wife introduces me as her first husband, which I don't know if I should be worried. But my whole point to that is I think I'd be really scared taking her advice on the next date. Okay, you know her, right, Katrina? Yeah. You're like, yeah.
She'd be trying to get back at you.
Yeah.
Well, it was a little strange at first because I thought, how did you get to know? You know, why are you calling me? Well, Diana said, and I'm like, Diana? What? No, but it's she's a lovely, lovely lady, and she wants him to be happy. You know, they split.
That's fantastic.
Yes, yeah. I mean but with Kelly, her father, Velton Lang, was Conway Twitty's road manager for 25 years.
Right,
so she was just always around when I was opening shows for Conway when I was starting out. Kelly was always running around the back somewhere, and as I said earlier, I can't remember a time when you weren't in my life somewhere. So,
aww.
Wow,
that is sweet. Isn't he sweet?
Yeah. That is so
dinner,
romantic.
And dinner was great tonight. I mean, you did a great job on dinner.
Lean cuisines.
We were in a hurry to get here. She says, "What do you want for dinner?" And I said, "Whatever." She says, "Okay, lean cuisine." And so we had the spaghetti and meatballs with a salad, and it was in about 15 minutes, and then we were here.
Perfect. Well, what a great time to take a break.
Yeah,
perfect.
Well, I'll tell you what, sponsor of this segment is Toyota of Cool Springs. As many of you know, Scott and I are both Toyota drivers, and we just love this dealership.
Yeah, we really do. They have great deals, but they have experience. And the thing that kills me, and we're going to get some more details on this, Hino, because a lifetime warranty with unlimited time and miles on every new car, that's crazy.
Yeah.
A 3-day exchange policy, and unlike many other dealerships, these guys are low-key. We've gone in there, and everybody's...
No pressure at all.
You know, sometimes you go into these places, and they're like...
Yeah.
And they're all over you, and it's just... These guys were just, hey, how's it going?
They're
really
awesome.
Cool.
Toyota of Cool Springs. Ask for George, the owner. He'll take care of you. He's a great guy. On the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
That's right. We're going to be right back with more of T.G. Shepherd and Kelly Lang here on the Music Row Show. Stick around.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Jackson. T.G. Shepherd and Kelly Lang off of their great album, Iconic Duets. That's great. I like that.
Fantastic.
I like that a lot. So, T.G., you earlier in your career, you kind of did promotion for a while.
Well, you know, I've done a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
In the beginning, when you're starting out, you know.
You do what you do.
You do what you have to do to make a living. And I was with RCA and also an independent promoter for many, many years before I became an artist. I got to tell you a funny story. When I got discovered by Berry Gordy at Motown.
Oh.
And I was signed to their country label, which mm-hmm. was just starting out.
Music Land, or what was the name of the?
Melody Land.
Melody Land, that's right.
So here I am working for RCA, and I'm thinking, okay, conflict of interest. I'm going to get fired because I'm recording for Motown, promoting records for RCA, blah, blah, blah. So I changed my name from Bill Browder, which my real name was Bill Browder, to T.G. Shepherd. And so for many years there, of course, at that time, I was hanging out at Graceland a lot with Elvis. And Elvis loved my first song so much. But he didn't know that Bill Browder was T.G. Shepherd because he kept hearing my first number one record on the radio. I mean, he'd run around the house singing Devil in the Bottle, our first number one record. Or we'd go to the Memphian Theater and he'd start singing that song. And I'd just sit there just, oh, my God, he's singing my song. And one day I walked in the back door of Graceland and Elvis was sitting there. And when I hit the back door, he said, Bill? I said, yes, sir. He said, you know, you could have told me you were that Shepherd guy singing that song I like on the radio. I said, well, Elvis, I couldn't tell you because I was afraid I'd get fired from RCA. He said, you fool, don't you know that I am RCA? And he was.
He was.
He was RCA. Well, so, yeah, I started off, you know, back in the 70s, so we're celebrating 40 years this next year.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I was just curious how that experience on that side of the business helped you in your career as a recording artist later on.
I think it helped me pick a song.
And yeah.
As I said earlier, it's all about the song. In promoting songs, I always felt like I knew a hit when I heard one. When it would come in, I'd put it on the turntable. I'd go, that's a hit.
Okay.
And so I think it helped me have a better ear when it come to hearing songs. And then, of course, it didn't hurt that I knew a lot of radio people already.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped me quite a bit. So I think, and also having an understanding of the business, because a lot of performers today who are just starting out, they don't really know how it works. They have a manager, they have a label, they have a booking agent, and an accountant to take care of everything. And it takes them a number of years before they figure out how it all works.
And by then, they've lost millions of dollars.
Right. Or their career's over.
Right.
So I think it prepared me from the business side to understand the business more and understand it better as a promotion man.
All right. Cool.
I'm going to back up a bit because this last week I was working in Memphis and it was Elvis week.
Oh, yeah.
I should have planned that better. It's not a good week to be in.
No, it's not.
In Memphis.
Unless you're there for Elvis
week. For Elvis week. But you had a friendship with him that started out outside a Memphis roller rink, and you were kind of a 15-year-old runaway in Memphis.
Yeah, I was.
So share that story with our listeners.
I was just skating one night in Memphis, and really and truly, I really wasn't living anywhere but in the streets, basically. And I was out there skating, and Cadillac pulls up, and I'm walking out about midnight, and Elvis gets out of the car and walks over to me, and I'm what's the chances of that happening?
Right, you know, right.
I mean, I was in shock. And he said, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm leaving. They're closing the roller rink. No, they're opening it up for me. He said, we skate here all night. You want to come in? I'm a man short on my team. We play a little game in here called Kill. And I said, okay, so it's football on skates, basically, is what it is.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
What could go wrong? And so I went in there and skated for about 4 or 5 hours. And after that, we got through skating, and he looked at me and said, you hungry? I said, yes, sir. He said, come on, let's go up to the house and eat some. So I drove up to Graceland in his car, and I had to keep pinching myself, you know, that Elvis was driving me up the driveway of his house. And that night was the start of a friendship that lasted 16 incredible years.
Wow.
Just happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Wow.
Kill. We're playing a game called Kill.
Or Death.
Or Death, yeah.
Oh, Death, yeah.
A lot of people might have turned around and walked away at that point. But.
He was an incredible human being. He was a very down-to-earth person.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
All these years, I kept telling Kelly, I said, I really wish you could have met Elvis, you know, because... He was one of the most unique individuals that I have ever known in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And there'll never be another like him.
No.
Never.
No.
Well, another musical icon that you guys have a musical relationship with is Barry Gibb.
Yes.
And you recently performed a duet with him in honor of Kenny Rogers.
I thought it was just a dream.
Well, tell us about that relationship and how you guys started singing together.
Several years ago, it's been about... 8 years, I guess, now. We had a really bad tornado come through Hendersonville. Mm-hmm. And I just was part of a team that put together a night of healing where we got all of the entertainers in the Hendersonville area to put on a makeshift show within a couple of weeks after the tornado. And I had this silly idea that I would just reach out to Barry Gibb. I don't know Barry Gibb, you know. I would just write a letter to his office and just see, you know, if he perhaps would be in town looking at his Johnny Cash's house that he had bought recently at the time. And lo and behold, I told them in the letter about the tornado benefit and who all was going to be on the show. And I was driving through a McDonald's drive-thru getting an ice cream cone, and his manager called me on my cell phone. And he said that not only would Barry Gibb be in town that very day, but he wanted to sing a duet with me on that show.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I almost
died. Let me think
died.
About that. Yeah.
So that started a friendship with he and his whole entire family with us. I met him for the first time at the Johnny Cash house. He was sitting on June Carter's then, you know, bed that they had left there at the house. With a cowboy hat on and a guitar, and we sang. And honestly, we were the last two to sing in that home before the fire.
The fire,
yeah. Mm. And I had to be the one to tell him the house had gone up in flames. So a lot of friendship and a lot of heartaches and stuff throughout the years. And this last October, he called me and asked if I would sing with him "Islands in the Stream." For Kenny Rogers' induction into the CMA, the Hall of Fame there.
Yeah.
And then a couple of nights later on the Grand Ole Opry. So.
Wow.
Nice.
It was really the highlight of my life. I mean, I love you.
Right.
I love you.
The second
highlight.
Hey, I like Shania Twain.
I love my children too, but career-wise, y'all have to understand that
it's out
of the
That's
box.
That's a big deal.
I totally understand, honey.
It is. And might I brag a little bit on TG with our relationship with Barry. We've become family, honestly, with the whole gang, and they're just a beautiful family. And for TG's recent birthday, he had a big birthday this last couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and Barry and his wife and some kids of theirs joined us at this resort in Florida, and Barry broke out his guitar and sang to us for 3 hours overlooking the ocean one night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a great birthday gift.
I haven't gotten the bill yet.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. Houses are expensive to rebuild, you know.
Yeah.
So.
It was a great 3 days.
He's a lovely man, and he's loves country music, just loves it.
Wow,
he's fantastic. He's a country fan. He's a fanatic. He loves bluegrass.
Yeah.
And he loves the Gaithers.
He's a big Ricky Skaggs fan.
Loves Ricky Skaggs, and he and Ricky have become friends, and... So he is he's rooted himself here in Nashville with a lot of great people that he loves here. And Kelly, I told Kelly, I said, you're never going to meet Barry Gibb. Are you kidding me? He's rock and roll. He's a rock act. He's a rock star. And I've been a big fan of Barry's for years, like a lot of people in this business. And lo and behold, I don't know. It was just another one of those blessings that came into our life. And
be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Wow. We became very, very close friends of theirs. And it's just...
It's just weird.
We take vacations together, and you look down sometimes, and I still get a little nervous because I'll look down and it'll go, Barry Gibb calling, and I'll go, oh,
yeah, you.
So, but no, he's just a...
He's a sweetheart.
You know, the bigger the star, the more down to earth and more humble they are.
Yeah.
The thing that I really love about him and some other people we've met through them is they seriously have no idea how big they are. He literally has no idea. He doesn't have a computer. He doesn't know what people think of him. He's just an average guy. You'd never know it.
Never know it.
That's amazing.
Wow.
I love that.
Well, Kelly, I want to touch on this real quick, too, because we've talked about you being a songwriter, but you actually co-wrote an entire Lori Morgan album.
Yeah.
The album I Walk Alone.
Yes.
Talk about that. I mean, how did you get started on that? And then was it a concept? Was there a theme through the whole thing?
It ended up being a theme. Mm-hmm. Lori and I, we've been friends for... Oh, my goodness, I guess almost 30 years now. And we liken our relationship to her being Patsy Cline and I'm Loretta Lynn.
Okay.
Although she is actually really named Loretta Lynn Morgan. That's her real actual name.
Aha. Yeah.
But she is a very colorful, fun, entertaining woman. And she's much bolder than me in a lot of areas, and I've learned a lot from her, and she's kind of taken me under her wing and recorded me when I first started out and paid for photo sessions for me when I didn't, you know, what I was doing, and just a sister to me. So we would go for many years without seeing one another or anything. So she didn't know that I had started writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone through breast cancer, and she was helping me get strong, meeting me at the YMCA. We would walk every day. And I said, I have a song I'd like for you to hear. And she said, you do? You know, so I just was shy to play that for her because she was such an icon to me. She was my musical hero. And I played it for her, and she really loved it, and she played it for her son's graduation party, and she asked if I would write for her with her on a couple of things. So we ended up writing an entire 30 or 40 songs together, and Mark Olivarius was one of our co-writers, which is in her band. He's in her band.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept turned out to be she was going through a really rough time in her life, and she needed to kind of cathartically get it out and put it on a disc to let people see what she's really going through and what she's made of. And she's not stone. She's not hard-edged. She's got a really huge, loving heart that's been broken many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And she bared her soul throughout this. It's a tapestry of her innermost makings, and it's beautiful. She did a beautiful job on it.
Well, congratulations to you, too.
Thank you.
That's a huge deal.
It was a big honor for me.
Yeah.
You know, if I never saw a dime from it, if I never get to do anything else in this business, for me to work with whom I looked up to all of my life, that's icing to me. You know, it was a real big deal for me. Still is.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. We got another couple minutes. Hit
it,
Hino.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, okay. I was really interested and impressed, TG, as I was reading up on you over the last few weeks, with what sounds like it was a choice to stop recording through the 90s and focus on touring. And I've seen others try it because there was a big change in the 90s.
Yes, there was.
Musically speaking. And I've seen over the past many years here, I've seen others try to Me Too it and change their style to fit what's the sound du jour. But you decided to really focus on what your fans wanted, and I very much respect you for that. I'd love to talk about
decision. I didn't want to be one of these artists that cut another like the other.
Mm-hmm.
I always had a sound. I always had great country songs that I felt that I was fortunate to get. And music was going through such a change at that time that I decided not to join the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to buy out of recording for 10 years, 12 years, and concentrate on what I really loved, which was live performance, and give the people what they wanted there. And then slowly but surely, I started making my way back into it, you know, the last 10 years.
Right.
And I've already had enough hit records. You never get enough hit records. Let me change that. I've already had more hit records than I ever thought I would ever have,
mm-hmm.
you know. I always thought, well, if I had just two or three big hits, you know, I'd be able to be happy with my career. And to have had the ones that we've had, I really have had my share. So if there's any more left out there, that's great. And if not, it's still great because I still love what I do. But I refuse to, I think it's important for an artist to be true to themselves and their music.
Wow. I think that's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's great.
Well, listen, we need to take another quick break.
Yes, we do.
But we are going to be back with a whole lot more of T.G. Shepherd and Kelly Lang here on The Music Row Show. Song. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with T.G. Shepherd and Kelly Lang, and of course that's Islands in the Stream, and that's a song off of their great project, Iconic Duets.
Where's
Volume 1, right? Because there's maybe a Volume 2 coming.
Volume 1.
Hey, Katrina, can we get that CD case? Let's show that on the camera so
we
can. Here, let's.
Oh, I've got one. I've got a camera right here.
There. Go ahead, help yourself.
There you go. So, T.G., you had a theater in the Smokies for quite a few years, and
yeah,
did lots and lots of shows. And I'm just curious how did you keep it fresh for yourself doing that many shows in a row for that long of a time? What kind of tips do you have for people who are facing that kind of thing?
Well, wow, it's a lot of rest.
A lot of rest.
Stay well. It was very draining when you're doing shows 6 days a week, and some days two shows a day.
Yeah.
The one thing that's great is that you're at least in your home in your own bed every night. You're not traveling, which traveling is the most grueling part of doing shows.
That's what you're really getting paid for.
Yeah.
Because the performing is the fun stuff.
Yeah, the traveling is what you get paid for.
Right.
Right. But it was, I think that's the reason that most performers can only really go for just 2, 3, 4 years max, and then they burn out. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was time after doing it 3 years to move back onto the road again, because even though I loved being home every night and playing in my own theater, I had to get back out and watch the world go by from the bus window. I really did. I missed the road. I'm a road warrior.
Yeah.
I love the different surroundings and a different atmosphere every night and a different room to play every night. So I love working the road, and I think most performers will tell you that they do. But the traveling is the most grueling part, but the shows are just, wow, it's the most incredible thing that can ever happen to a human being, is to be able to walk on a stage and look out and see a lot of people mouthing the words to songs that you sing. Mm-hmm. It is the greatest feeling. There's no word to describe it.
I was actually watching a video of you guys at the CMA Fest playing the Durango stage, and you had a girl come up, and she was mouthing the words, and you go, "You know the words to this." And she goes, "Well, of course I do." And then you want her to dance with her. But it is. That's a great feeling.
That's the greatest compliment to a performer.
Yeah.
Is when you see people sing with you, or they'll sing along with you on a song.
Right.
I mean, that's what it's all about, is affecting people's lives, if for only 3 or 4 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about, connecting.
Wow. Mm. You said something so interesting in the last break, talking about how you always had a way to identify songs. You felt like that was something you could do. Talk about the song discovery process as an artist in the 70s and 80s. How much control did you have over that when you were getting started?
Well, in the beginning, you basically have no control.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little more because I knew the business already. But most performers really have to get through that freshman and sophomore album and have a few hits under their belt and gain some momentum and some hits under their belt before they're afforded the opportunity to have a voice in their career and the direction of their career. And I truly believe this, that if record companies would let the artists do what they really believe and what they feel, that careers would last a lot longer and music would be much greater. Because the performer, I think people always can feel and they know when you're singing a song, if you're singing it for the money, if you're singing it from the heart. I've always believed that, and I've never believed in singing for the money. I sing from the heart.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, before we take a break here, we do need to say real quick that this is brought to you by the Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival, which is next weekend.
That's right.
And we're going to be there,
we're
too.
We're going to be there. 105 writers, including us, all venues all over historic Gatlinburg.
That's right. We're going to be there performing, and we're also hosting the first annual late night jam at the historic Gatlinburg Inn, which is where Rocky Top was written.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So the festival dates are August 21st to the 24th, which is, again, next week.
That's right. And next year's
next
dates.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
Next year's dates are August 19th to the 23rd, 2015.
Just in case if it's too late to plan it for this time.
Then, yeah.
See us next year.
You could go start getting ready for coming next year. The website is SMSWF, Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival.com.
That's right. That's,
it's kind of hard to say. So it looks like Smurf, but it's
does.
SMSWF.
Smurf.com.
Smurf.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes with a whole lot more of T.G. Shepherd and Kelly Lang here on the Music Row Show. Love that. That's, of course, I Got You, Babe. One of the iconic duets on the Iconic Duets project for T.G. Shepherd and Kelly Lang, who are guests here this hour. And we've asked this question to several guests over the years and gotten many different answers. So what are the challenges of writing, working, recording with a musical spouse? And what tips can you provide for those of us who are in that situation?
Well, I think you have to learn to carry a towel and bite your lip a lot. You're going to bleed a lot.
I see.
Actually, really and truly for me, it was a labor of love. It was fun. And we knew it was going to be fun. We did it because we wanted it to be fun. So I'm sure you can make yourself miserable over these things. But with me, I am a little anal. I like for everything to be right. I'm a stickler about mixing and mastering and... So I'm a little tough technically on things.
And I'm not.
Kelly's a little looser.
I'm just like, yeah, you can go mix. Huh. I don't care.
But we really and truly, it was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
And a long process. It took us several months to do the project.
We wanted to linger it out. We kept hesitating on the songs that we were choosing because we wanted it to last longer. We weren't quite ready to finish up the project right away. It was a blast. And I could not imagine being married to somebody else. If I was with someone that didn't understand music, they would not understand me and probably
right.
vice versa. So yeah. We actually are very best friends, and we get along on most things, and we have the same identical taste in things that we like, and it's a rare thing to be that close to each other.
Well, I think in life, when you know you're with the right person, it all kind of works. It works.
Yeah.
It fits together, you know. I'm blessed to have Kelly in my life.
That's awesome.
You guys are just so...
Sickening, right?
Yes. I know. Yes.
I know.
No, this is very nice. So...
I will tell you this, though.
Tell
Scott,
me.
A lot of people think they know someone when they go to a concert and they see someone on stage. And
sure.
They walk away and the first thing, was he nice? Or what was he like in the autograph line? You know, is he a nice person?
Yeah.
For every person who thinks they might have liked T.G. on stage, as his wife, and I've known him most of my life, I wish you weren't even here because it's hard for me to get in the car. But, he is simply the kindest human being I have ever known in my life. He has such a big heart and such a tenderness about him for everyone he meets. And he's a fantastic husband, incredible dad. And just, he's awesome. He's just really an awesome man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Heck, now I want to marry him.
I know.
Jeez.
I know.
That number to call again is
1-800.
800.
Well,
great person.
A great person. Speaking of kids, are they musical? Do you see
yes.
them following... Following this path?
Yes, we hope not, but they are. Yeah. Our daughter, Kennedy, she's 19.
Get into the microphone.
Our daughter, Kennedy's 19, and she's actually playing soccer at college right now.
Okay.
But she sings like a bird and writes, too. My oldest daughter, Peyton, is 23, and she sings, too, and writes. And
works at the Ryman.
Yeah, she works at the Ryman. Okay. She does all of the wardrobe there for all of the artists that come through there.
And my son, Jason.
My son, Jason.
He does 73 voices. He does everything from little Johnny Carson to Sean Connery.
Wow. He's hilarious.
He's really?
Incredible impressionist. Just incredible.
Admire people who... I cannot do that to save my life. That's
I love watching
awesome.
Jimmy Fallon for that because Jimmy can do it all.
He does some good ones.
Oh, that's great.
The only people I can do is Loretta Lynn and Crystal Gayle.
Do a little bit of Loretta for us, Kelly.
Well, we were watching Coal Miner's Daughter today. And for those that don't know us, I literally call TG Do. That's his nickname at home. Okay. Like in my cell phone, it's Do Shepherd.
Uh-huh.
And so at home, I go, Do, quit grilling like an old bird. You know, I talk in Loretta voice all day long on occasion. You know,
You ever slipped up and done that in front of her?
Yes, I have.
No, but you know what?
I bet she loves it.
We were filming a show one time, and Crystal Gayle was sitting in front of us, and she starts singing.
Don't know when I've been so blue. Don't know what's come over you.
I mean, Crystal turns around and goes, "Did I sing that?" I mean.
We laugh way too much.
As I say, we laugh a lot.
Well, you guys, please come back.
We will.
Because we'd love to visit more with y'all.
I mean, there's not many places on a Sunday night that we can come make $2,500.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's $2,500?
I mean, we're not getting that.
No, will you take a check? Sure.
Just kidding. No, are you kidding me? We'd pay you to do this.
We're going to have 7 years of other guests calling up after the show going,
where's my $2,500?
We got a problem.
I will say this. I'm a fan. Okay, because
thank you.
It takes an enormous amount of talent to do what you do. And when you have two people that gel so well together and make it work, my hat's off to you because you really make it work.
Well, that's very nice. Yeah. Thank you.
You really do.
And on that note, I'm never speaking to Hino again. We
never,
should probably just make this
public.
When
you were describing each other, you being a little bit more anal, that's us.
Which one's the anal one?
Me.
Yeah.
And I'm the fly by the seat of my pants.
He's like,
it's
what?
Fine.
Are you guys
it's
getting fine. Along okay though?
Oh,
no.
Yeah. No?
I mean, no.
Yes, we do.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thanks again for coming in.
To coming back.
Shameless plug websites, TG Shepherd Music.
TGShepherd.com.
TGShepherd.com.
KellyLang.net.
KellyLang.net. Check it out. And when you're done with that, go to themusicroshow.com.
Facebook or Twitter.
And go buy this iconic duets CD.
It's awesome.
Great stuff in there.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you next week. If you happen to be in Gatlinburg, come check us out at the Smoky Mountain Songwriters Festival.
That's easier for you to say.
Yeah, we'll see you next week on the Music Row Show.